shook her head.
Something a lot worse than pirates.
The boy didn't reply, but loosened the bowie knife in the sheath at the small of his back. As Ryan got closer, he saw the gate box was shoved back a few feet, leaving a gap in the defenses. Raising a hand to call for a halt, he jerked his head in both directions, and the companion split apart, half going to either side of the opening. Then Ryan charged forward and threw his back to the steel box, blaster at the ready. After a few moments, he eased to the corner of the container, then proceeded down the dark 10-foot passageway between the gate and the wall. His nerves were taut. This was the perfect spot for an ambush. Nearing the end of the gate, he listened closely and heard birds. Lots of them. Not good. Wriggling closer, the man chanced a quick peek inside.
Fire blast.
He eased his stance and lowered the blaster.
Mildred, check this out.
Quickly, the puzzled physician came down the pass and stopped dead in her tracks. 100 different types of birds covered the ground, steadily pecking at something lying on the ground. Aiming at the scavengers, Mildred fired a shot, and the creatures took flight, their beating wings sounding as loud as thunder, until they were gone into the blue sky.
Yeah, just what I thought.
Decomposing corpses lay everywhere in the bill, sprawled on the ground, some halfway through windows as if trying to escape, while others were locked together with knives drawn. The dead were dressed in rags, many wearing loose garments made of woven grass. All of them were barefoot. The ripe smell of rotting flesh was thick in the air.
Plague! We should not go any closer.
What? Oh, horseshit.
Mildred kicked over a desiccated corpse lying sprawled in the sand. The birds and insects had done a good job of stripping away the flesh on most of the dead, but this one was fresh, no more than a day or two old. Rigor had come and gone. There was very little meat on the dead man, which told her a lot. Mildred drew a knife to slit open the man's chest. Some insects scampered from his lungs, carrying away tiny morsels of food.
See, there are no pustules or skin eruptions.
She pointed with the blade.
Yes, look at the kidney and the belly. This man died of Vibrio cholerae. He died of cholera, I mean. Not the bubonic plague.
Jack held a handkerchief in front of his face.
What is? Like brain rot or blood fire?
An enterotoxin. Comes from bad water.
Mildred cleaned her blade on the rags of the corpse, then stabbed it into the ground before playing the flame of her lighter along the steel. Alcohol would have been better, but she had none. This would have to do for sterilization.
I'd bet live rounds we'd find their latrine right next to the drinking well. Damn fools did it to themselves.
Masks.
Ryan pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket. All of the companions tied some sort of cloth across their faces to cover nose and mouth.
Not necessary. It's spread by oral consumption, not breathing.
Can we stay here, Mildred?
Go ahead and keep the handkerchiefs over your faces. Don't touch anything with your bare hands, and for God's sake, don't eat or drink anything unless it's in a sealed can. We'll be okay.
Christy looked away from some tiny corpses, still clutched in their mother's arms.
Must have hit like lightning.
Mildred clenched her fists.
God damn it! I could have saved this whole bill with a pocket full of rehydration salt and some tetracycline. Or even old furazolidone.
Jack stared at the physician, wondering if she was making up those words.
Got any of the cans? Do they exist anymore, even in the redoubts?
The physician sometimes got this way over her inability to cure diseases that were such simple matters in her day, and now were the unstoppable plagues of the reality that was Deathlands.
Can't even remember what penicillin tastes like anymore.
Mildred's medkit hung heavy at her side. She had the skill to cure the people, but not the tools. Sometimes the physician got so frustrated, she thought she'd go as mad as Doc. Going to the other side of the gate, JB found that a bulldozer was attached with lots of heavy chains to pull the gate open, its shovel flat against the container to keep it closed again. It was one hell of an impressive gate. Going to the driver's seat, the armorer found a corpse sprawled in the chair, skinny arms still on the controls.
Haste, trying to get out.
He climbed into the dozer and checked the gauges, thumping a control board. Rust fell from under the dashboard, like dried blood.
Nuke batteries have plenty of power, but it's out of fuel.
Let it stay there.
Ryan had no intention of wasting any of their precious fuel on operating the big wag. They would need every drop for the gateway to get them out of here. He only hoped it was still intact. People often destroyed pre-dark technology simply out of fear. If that had happened to the Gateway, he did have a backup plan to get them out of the Cific, but it was a hell of a lot more risky than using the Gateway.
I wonder how they moved the boxes.
No biggie.
Dean pointed.
See? They're empty.
Ryan looked closer and noted that all of the containers had holes cut in the side to serve as doorways and windows. But there was no glass, and the doors were only hanging sheets of canvas.
They lived inside the wall. Smart. Anybody tried to get in, and you'd hear them on the metal roof.
Must have been a bitch cutting the doors. Those aren't Plasex holes. Maybe they used chisels and hacksaws.
Take weeks. Months.
Maybe the locals needed the steel boxes to keep out something no sandbag and wood barricade could.
The sense of death in the Ville was strong, but somewhere life was stirring weakly. It was like a tickle with a feather, almost too soft to feel. Then, as quickly as it came, the sensation was gone.
Triple red.
The hairs rising on the back of his neck, he raised the stire and scanned the area quickly. Christy clicked back the hammer on her SMW-38 revolver.
So you felt it too?
We're being watched. Don't know from where.
The 100 holes in the encircling wall, each seemed to stare blankly at the companions below. But from one of those dark holes, living eyes watched their every move.
Could be the birds. Got to clear this place out.
Sliding the shotgun off his shoulder, JB jacked the action and fired a 12-gauge round into the birds. The flock erupted in bloody feathers, the rest lifted into the air, only to settle down again and begin to feed once more. Doc tried this time, the Lama roaring louder than a cannon. Some birds rose into the sky, but most roosted on the top of the wall, settling in to simply wait until it was safe to return. Jack leaned forward slightly, his white hair cascading down to cover his face.
Never leave. Too much food, not enough us.
The position was a combat stance, something he did unconsciously to hide his eyes, and thus mask what direction he would attack.
When the belly speaks, the ears become deaf.
Indeed, madam.
Doc arched an eyebrow.
Buddha?
Who else?
Looking over the Aistville, Ryan scowled deeply. This was no place to make camp. The smell of the dead was attracting swarms of dragonflies, which had discovered the companions as a new source of nourishment. JB hauled a Molotov cocktail from his munitions bag, and the group passed around the bottle of fuel, rubbing small amounts on their exposed skin. The flies departed immediately, but they knew the bugs would return once the gas vapors had dissipated.
Okay, we do a fast wreck, in pairs only. Stay alert, watch for traps. Check for any boats, or even canoes we might use. Christy with me, JB stay with Mildred, Dean with Jack. Doc, you're the anchor.
Once more, I am Balador at the gate, my dear Ryan. None shall pass without a greeting from my trusty Mjolnir.
Crazy old coot. Everybody in your time period talk like that?
Only the educated, madam.
As the others spread out to follow the wall, Christy and Ryan cut directly through the middle of the settlement. The corpses carpeted the ground, and more than once they were forced to tread on the dead to keep going straight. In the center of the Ville, they found a huge cooking pit, now converted into a pyre. Bodies and cords of wood were mixed together, waiting for a lit match. The stench was unimaginable.
Oh, Gaia! They tossed the poor bastards in, dead or alive!
Ryan merely grunted in reply. He'd seen folks do a lot worse than that to stay alive. Ryan was no stranger to the savagery of man.
Let's try over there.
He indicated a box with iron bars over the windows. It was the only such cargo container with anything added to the Spartan exterior.
Must be the Baron's home.
Makes sense.
But as they started to leave, a whispery voice spoke from out of nowhere.
Help me.
The man and woman swung about in a crouch, their blasters sweeping the nearby corpses for any hostile signs. But nothing was stirring, except the swarms of fat flies feeding on the festering dead. Then the voice came again.
Ryan?
The voice called from the depths of the reeking pit.
For God's sake, Ryan! It's me!
With white-knuckled hands, Henry Glassman grimly held onto the control board of the pitching PT boat. The spray whipped back his hair and stung his eyes as it came howling over the cracked windshield of the open cabin at the front of the craft. Its speed was phenomenal, and the huge steam engine aft of the vessel thumped louder than a cannon. The crew said that was normal, and he wondered if it was true. Glassman still couldn't believe this PT boat and its sec men were his to command. The healer had played for as much time as